Welcome to the CLT Podcast, a series all about things related to learning and teaching in higher education, brought to you by the Centre for Learning and Teaching at Leeds Beckett University. In this episode, listen to Hugo Smith and Ben Robertson as they talk about employability in the curriculum to make students graduate ready. Wherever you may be listening from, we hope you enjoy. Hello, I'm Andy Bedford. I'm an educational developer in the Centre for Learning and Teaching, and I'm here today as part of the CLT podcast with Hugo Smith and Ben Robertson.
I'm Hugo Smith. I work in Leeds School of Arts in the Creative Technology subject area. I used to say I was new, but I've been at the university for 10 years, so actually I'm far from new. And before that, I worked in television. If I was trying to impress you, I would say I'm a documentary filmmaker. But if I knew you or you knew me, I would describe myself as a jobbing television producer. So I went from job to job trying to make a living in the industry whilst also hoping to create things of worth.
I'm Ben Robertson, and I'm one of the career consultants here at the university. And I specifically link to Leeds School of Arts, and I also wear another hat. So I'm part of a professional network called the Association of Graduate Advisory Services Creative Industries Task Group as well. So that's a really important role that helps me in my day to day, linking to the arts, working with great people like Hugo and supporting students in the School of Arts with their employability.
We're looking today at the professional and employability skills and sort of like a focus really on higher education courses. Now, this is something I'm taking some inspiration from a talk that you recently did, Hugo, which you used the phrase be interested, be interesting. I just wondering if you could explain what that was a little bit more to our listeners.
Yeah, so I suppose when I first arrived at the university, I did some part-time hourly paid teaching on television journalism on the Journalism Award, which used to be delivered in one of these weird internal arrangements by the School of Computing. And I also work on the Broadcast Media Technologies course. That's where I do most of my work, where I began to pick up bits of teaching and then became a senior lecturer in that area. And now that's one of the courses that I'm course director for. And Broadcast Media Technologies, or I'll probably refer to it as BMT throughout the podcast, is been my area of strongest interest. It feels like it's the course that I might like to have done myself, or that I might have benefited from had I known what I wanted to do when I was younger. And we've taken on as a kind of a mantra for the course the phrase be interested, be interesting, because we see, certainly we did when we started in the media, and there, this is still true, it's just it's flexed a little bit. I can give an example afterwards if you like, that if you want to work in TV, there are lots of people who want to work in TV. So if you are going for a job, or if you've got a desire to get that job, then you have to be interested. You've got to be interested in the sector. You've got to be interested in the genre that you're going to work in. You've got to be interested in the production company that you're going for a chat. You've got to be interested in the programs that they're making. So you have to be at least as interested as other people if you want to get on. And it also helps if you want to get into what used to be quite an interesting industry with lots of interesting people working in it, if you are an interesting person yourself. Nobody is interested in people who become one-dimensional and boring in their pursuit of something. What they want is rounded individuals who are fun to work with and who bring something to the group. So there's a twin dynamic here, which I hadn't necessarily thought of at first about being core to employability. We just thought that they were useful for media work, but actually it feels like perhaps it is, they are useful ways of thinking for when you for whatever course you're on or whatever you're doing. One of my students in the third year is the captain of the dance team, and actually that's as interesting and as taxing and demanding and requires a lot of skills as anything that they might be doing at work. So things like that, even in a kind of very obvious way, might feed into CV-able skills. but they also make you into the sort of person that people want to meet and hang out with. And that stuff is important in the workplace, I think.
Yeah. And you mentioned there as well about creating rounded students and those sort of activities and things that are in support, extracurricular to their actual course that make them a rounded individual, the captain of the dance club and so on.
A couple of things that spin off there. One is that you're absolutely right. I think it does make people more rounded, and more rounded people are more useful in every way. Another thing is that when you go for an interview for a TV job, and this is probably the case in other sectors, I think, as well, that one of the things that the first things the employer will do when you start to talk about your film you did when as a student, you know, on my big major project, they'll say everybody comes with a big major project. What else did you do while you were at university that shows that you're actually interested? What were you doing that shows that you're a person that's right for this? And so really the course you're on, whilst it can be really useful, is just a central spine for you to wrap your whole experience around. And the reason when I talk to first years now, it's perhaps a bit much for me to talk about the excitement of working in television. A lot of them aren't watching any television. And that's very challenging for us. But one of my graduates from a few years ago went to work as a content editor at Lad Bible. And when I talk to the students about that, which is effectively exactly the same set of skills, operating at a level that I would have previously seen as below television, not to be too snobby, but I certainly would have done, they're actually much more excited about that. So it's partly about that idea that whatever your course is, that your understanding of the way that the industries that you're feeding into are flexing, and that what you saw as exciting in your, you know, the 1980s when I started in work, might be different to a present generation.
So it sounds like the students on your course are identifying with their profession they're getting into and their area they're getting into. And I wonder there as well, how do you ensure then that students identify with that course? Is it all based around this subject area? Is it all based around the teaching that goes on? Or what do you do employability wise that helps with that as well?
It's hard, isn't it? Because actually, I'd like to think that students did come in that way, but clearly they don't come in that way. Students often decide what they're going to do at university very quite young, you know, or at 16, say, and then they're 12, 14, 18 months later on when they finally arrive at university, they can have quite big changes in their adult perspective on what they want to do at that time. And we don't always know what we want to do. Part of the major decision making that I made on what I read at university was how many hours of lectures a week there were. Yeah. You know, and I look back now and that seems quite shallow as a reason for doing that sort of thing, but I don't think that's that unusual. So
you were after lots of hours, weren't you? That was referring to there.
Something like that, yeah. Yeah. I think geography and politics seem to have the fewest hours per week, and people told me that geography wasn't right for all sorts of reasons, which actually turned out to be wrong. So one of my big mistakes not doing geography. The key thing for me is that people come wanting something, but it's not necessarily a set of skills that are the set of skills or attitudes that you think are going to be useful to them when they leave. And so a lot of what we do on the course is trying to encourage them to be confident in trying out skills work and personally confident. And then we introduce them to people like Ben, or in our case, Ben, to try and encourage them to see just the breadth of resources that the university has. So, I think we could do a lot of what we do most of our work in third year. Really, we should be doing it in first year because for various reasons. But we find that the students are really turned on to the idea of employability in the third year, and that maybe it's not as relevant to them in the first and second year. If we could get them turned on to it in the first year, I think we'd have even better outcomes. And that might be something we go on to discuss if we have time. But in the third year, Ben comes in and is quite involved with what we do. And that's really helpful to us. I think having somebody who is clearly identified with employability and careers as a full individual role really helps the students to see it as something which is worth their time and effort. So when Ben comes in and he talks about some of the things we've been talking about in the previous few weeks, I think the students are really into it and they understand it more because they then see it as something that's worthy of professional attention. Do you get that elsewhere, Ben? Do you think that's fair?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's that, the reinforcing of the learning, the great learning that's taking place anyway, particularly with what you've discussed, Hugo. I really like the, you talked about the degree being the spine. I think it is. And it makes me think a lot of this, particularly as well with a holistic graduate as well, and how we're trying to help students really develop, a set of skills and competencies, their confidence, their self-belief, their self-worth. It makes me think of the Career Edge model of graduate employability. And I think, that built into your programs in terms of the career development learning element, through the module learning, through the input that we provide as well. But then just those, wider opportunities for students to broaden their experiences and develop those skills. And the critical bit, though, as always, and this is something we absolutely champion, is having it in the curriculum. So it's in the learning and teaching. So it means that students are able to reflect and evaluate as well. And that, I think that's what kind of brings it to life for them as well. And they can see how important it is, and it all starts to make sense for them. And then actually they end up leaving much more confident and much more able to navigate the future world of work, which we know is changing, constantly. It's impossible to kind of keep up with it. But that, all we can do is help students prepare and be as well. I think part of this is being that lifelong learner as well, knowing that the learning doesn't stop once they leave Leeds Beckett University. And I think, the learning and teaching activities that you have embedded, particularly where those students are connecting with industry, that they're going out there being these interesting people, that might not be realised, I suppose, in the immediate aftermath, but actually it's got a longevity to it. So they're planting a number of seeds that over time are going to be incredibly important for their overall career development. And for me, that's really special about, what you've got going on in your programmes.
Yeah, well, there's quite a lot of context here, and one's never sure whether or not one's unpacked it properly for people who aren't involved with your life on a day-to-day basis to understand. I suppose a couple of things, if I could do them at the same time, that would be great. I'm not sure I can. One is that when students arrive, and right from open days, we say, be interested, be interesting. We don't wait until they're our students. That's an advice to any normal human. Your life is going to be a lot more satisfying if you can develop these two traits. But what we say to them when they start with us is that you're not just a student. Nobody is just a student. You're a young practitioner in whatever field you want to go in. Yeah. You've got the freedom to experiment. You've got the freedom to do things. You can go and do work experience. You can say, if you're doing a journalistic story, you ring up and you say, I'm a freelance journalist. You don't say, I'm just a student, don't talk to me. You say, I'm a journalist. Or if you want to do some film editing, you say, I'm really interested in film editing. I want to be a film editor. You don't say, I'm a student. And because students tend to use that as a somewhat belittling way of introducing themselves, or they're allowing other people to do that. Whereas in fact, what they've got is 3 years to be a better version of whatever thing it is they want to be before anybody can judge them at all. And the students of ours who take that on and engage with work experience and engage with outside the course opportunity, they're the ones who, by the time it comes to the end of the course, they often don't need our support. They've made networks of their own. They've made arrangements. They're working. And sometimes that's in really good work. And sometimes it's in work that you think, oh, well, you might move on from that to better work, but it's often in work, and that's really important. So there's that kind of social aspect, and we do as a course, three of us that work, I suppose it's four of us, but three of us that work full time on the course, we are all people who've worked somewhere other than the university before, and we try to maintain our relationships with the people we work with before and try and engage students with opportunities that we can find outside the course. So nobody is expected to do work experience so far, although I am beginning to build that into the courses. That's my big task for the next couple of years.
Yeah, I was just going to say on that, Hugo, as well, just around the university, you know, we have undertaken a review of kind of work-based learning placements. As an institution, we've got some new recommendations as well around, you know, broadening that, you know, to experiential learning. But I think as well, the practice that's already happening, particularly that, you know, what's embedded in the curriculum, it's, you know, you can only kind of build from, you know, the good practice that's already there. So, you know, within certain modules where industry are involved, alumni are involved, there's authentic industry assessment as well. So all of those components, you know, provide students with a real good, I suppose, world of work reflection as well. So it's very relevant to them. And then that's, you know, that's all part of that career and employability development and that professional development, they're just organically, you know, receiving through their learning and teaching experience.
One of the things that is most key to me now is that when we first started on the course, we were talking all the time about how you have to get out and do this stuff. And then it can be hard for students to see value in doing things beyond university when there are so many other stresses and strains on their lives. You know, I mean, I find it quite difficult being an older man. I found it very difficult being a young adult. And it was quite difficult just to manage stuff. And so university can be complex and difficult enough without this expectation from people 20 or 30 years older than you to be doing more and often for free and that sort of thing. So I think it can be very hard. So we've created holder modules, and that sounds awful because the modules themselves are really cool and full of stuff, but they're modules where students can place their work outside university for academic credit in the third year. So if a student has been off working editing films for somebody or doing camera work or streaming something or working in a radio station or whatever element of broadcast media technologies they've been working in. And we do have students now who are making quite good money editing content for YouTubers and things like that. You know, this is a really growing and rich area of skills-based work. We now have a module where they can present that work so long as they haven't previously used it to gain academic credit through the degree, and they can get effectively free marks for it. And of course the marks aren't free. They've been earning them across the course of the thing, and they have to present this work in a portfolio that needs a narrative. So there's lots of good, strong level 6 skills in terms of what they develop in the narrative and what they say, but they can get credit for that stuff. And if I had a piece of advice for people, which I often seem to do, but try formally to try and avoid as much as possible, it would be to allow students to bring what they're doing that's relevant to their field of study into their course where possible. You know, so if you can give them some marks for that fantastic work they're doing outside the classroom,
yeah,
surely that's just as good as the work they're doing inside the classroom or better. And the module that we're fitting that into at the moment is a module that nobody likes. And nobody's ever liked a business and enterprise module where students learn about the way they're going to be employed, you know, sort of what the contract status will be when they come into a job at a certain role and how that might change as they're promoted or work differently. And we also ask them to do some very light business planning so that they understand things like cash flow and profit and loss and, you know, where their money's coming from and what it's going to be going out on and when they have to start paying tax and things like that. And students often aren't particularly interested in this. And it's really the only really positive feedback we get is from students after they've left university who say, oh, I'm really pleased you taught me that while I was there. And some of our early cohorts, when we've gone back to them and said, you know, listen, we're thinking of changing the course. What do you wish you knew that you wish you'd known when you were a student that you know now? They've said, you know, I wish you'd taught me about, you know, how to invoice and when to expect an invoice to be paid and how to deal with that stuff. So that module, whilst it's not particularly exciting in description, has become a place where we also get clients to come in and offer work, and students can bring their work for outside clients. And that's become a place where, you know, quite a substantial portion of a 20 credit module, though not by all of it by any means, can be got from that work. So, and I think any course could do that. I think that that's partly course design. And I think that you can design these opportunities for people to bring things out from the course. And it's partly assessment design in terms of, you know, if I said you can only bring one piece of work to this, then that's not going to help. If I make students bring a portfolio and then present that portfolio of work, then I not only have the opportunity, I'm insisting that they're doing more than one piece of work and spreading themselves around a little bit, and I'm also asking for an accompanying narrative, and hopefully that will be useful for them.
By having that industry thread as well directly in, well, in the module, in the curriculum, it's really important from an access perspective as well. It provides, you know, a level playing field for all students then to get access to industry and those career development activities that we know, you know, students who might not have, you know, certain challenges or you know, other responsibilities, they might be able to self-select out of the curriculum and come and get involved with, you know, the wide range of activities that we put on in the career service. You know, we bring a lot of employees on campus, but, you know, we only reach, you know, through that work, a smaller percentage of students. And actually, where are most students? They're in the curriculum. So those employers, those live briefs, those projects tied into the curriculum are absolutely life-changing from that perspective, you know, because it provides that equitable platform.
I think COVID's taught us a bit about that as well. With this particular module, before COVID, we said each student has to go out and find their own clients. You know, you may be between jobs as a camera operator or as an editor, and you might want to work in broadcast, but actually your skills are really relevant to income generation in so many other areas. So, you know, go and make some corporate film, you know, find a local business that wants a video. You don't have to be paid. You can use as your intro, I can make you something for free because it's for university. But if students are paid, and sometimes you get students who get paid several hundred pounds, I had a group of students who got a couple of £1,000 for a charity commission film a couple of years ago. They would keep all the money, and we'll be able to give them more marks for being entrepreneurial already. So that's all really good. But what COVID did was, we made us realize that students couldn't necessarily all go out and get this work. And I think that there is something here that Ben points to about the, in some senses, if you just say go and find work, it plays into the narrative of a still quite a sort of middle class public school curriculum where everybody has the confidence and the opportunity to be able to give up their time to go and do this stuff. So we've made sure that every year now, whilst we encourage students to engage with their own clients, we try to provide a client for them as well. So we've developed a partnership with Adam Chandler at Real Film, a corporate film company in Wetherby and now with offices in Leeds. And Adam gives us the media, the rushes from a recent job of his, and the students can have a go at editing that material and to see whether they can do a better job than the professional company did. And he is involved with the process throughout. He's always available on email, and he's part of the panel that actually does the assessment at the end of the module. So students can write to him and say, I've done this edit, what do you think? You know, can I get some feedback? And he gives them feedback. He's very generous with his time. And that means that no student can come to us at the end of the module and say, listen, I haven't had a chance here. Everybody has at least that one opportunity. This year, the university's marketing service is giving us the chance for students to make a film or films, most likely TikTok or Instagram reels about the new Leeds School of Arts building. And that's with a view to attracting 16 to 18 year olds to consider coming to study with us. And that feels like, oh, no, use the word synergy, I'm sorry. It feels like a great way to bring together a need within the institution with a need within the students. And it feels to me like there's probably quite a lot of that stuff around such a big institution as the university. It's just a case of us being able to get our heads around how to manage it for ourselves and between ourselves.
Providing students with the opportunity to build their skills, build their experiences, to, you know, positively affect their learning, whilst at the same time helping to continue and support that that Leeds Beckett community, whether that's prospective students or the alumni community and wider stakeholders as well. It makes me think of the work of Bridgestock around graduate employability 2.0, this connected learning approach where, particularly now that we live in a world that's so connected, particularly with social media as well, the importance of bringing all those people, those groups of people and communities together to benefit the student experience. And again, it feels like that's something that, you know, is at the heart of your programs, Hugo.
I think also I'm realizing more and more, you can't be implicit about a lot of this stuff. You've got to be really helpfully explicit with both the students and yourselves about what's going on. Employer said to me the other day, do you do like mock interviews with students? As if, why would anybody not? Why would anybody have a program where there weren't a really heavy level of mock interviews with students? And I thought, oh, actually, you know, we do panels, but we could probably do much more of the kind of question that they're going to get asked in interview. So just with thinking about the marketing video opportunity there, you know, it's like, can you tell me about a time when you did something that really, really went down well? You know, can you tell me about when you had to struggle to do something that stood out above others? Or, you know, those kind of classic interview questions. And actually, oh, yes, I made this film, and out of the 30 people in the class, my film was chosen and it went on the university website and 4,000 people saw it or something. Those little things that you're giving the student something real from their study that they can then take on. And it's that confidence. And we are aware, aren't we? I think, well, no, students are aware when they come to university that they're going to be getting technical skill in the area they're in, whether or not that's English or computer science or broadcast media technologies. They come because they think they're going to get some specialism and technical skill. Yeah. And they also kind of understand that there's going to be some graduate skills or graduate stuff, although I think often people maybe don't define that as well as they could. But they don't really think that there's anything else, in my experience. We're not clear enough about saying that this critical thinking skill is graduate skill in most jobs. It's that ability to sift, sort information, measure, make a judgment, summarize. You know, all those things are what you might be called upon if you don't do a job in your own field. But it feels to me that there's a couple of other strands that nobody talks about, maybe because it seems like we'd be devaluing the institution or institution of higher ed altogether too much. And a big one is soft skills, you know, where actually my employers, to be frank, will often say that they are going to retrain the staff, the graduates, in their way of doing a certain thing. So yes, they do want software skills and they do want technical skills. And I'm not saying they don't, but if we go to the nth degree in teaching them a certain pattern of doing something, as soon as they go into the first company, they're like, oh, we don't do that here. What we do is we do it like this, this, and this. And they want to be able to train people into their way of doing it because that's commercially important for them and sensitive and everything. And actually what they say to us, what we want from your students and what we like from your students is their attitude and their interest and their get up and go
enthusiasm,
a better expression. And actually students undervalue their, we've said that to them right from the beginning, be interested, but they undervalue how important that is. And I think part of what we do in this the combination of final year modules that we have that are related to employability is to get them to be less afraid about showing their excitement about these things, partly through practical and partly through the preparation of a suite of client facing material, whether that's social media feeds or LinkedIn or their CV or something about interview. But also it's about them, you know, them understanding that actually the employer is going to be interested in them as much as anything else. And that they're again, coming back to them being interested really has value. The thing that I think we do try and do with the module that I first got Ben involved with at level six, and which people don't talk about very much, and I think is useful, and I suppose this is related to the idea of creating, I spend a lot of time, you won't be able to see on a podcast, but drawing my hands together in that, like, here's the church, here's the steeple thing, because I want to try and bridge a gap. We're building a web of contacts that start before the student leaves university that make leaving university a soft experience, not a hard experience. And that's really important. And we do that by highlighting that in any industry, there is a tremendous amount of secret knowledge, and that secret knowledge is what separates the experienced from the inexperienced. And that to get the secret knowledge, all you have to do is ask the people with the secret knowledge, and they will then deliver it to you. And not only is this great because you get the secret knowledge from being asked, but you also then build the contact and the start of the relationship and the start of the network with the person who has the knowledge. So we ask students to go out into the industry they're interested in, meet just one, or if possible, more than one person who's already working in it, and talk to them about their industry.
Yeah.
And then we ask them to compare that to what they find in the library and in academia or on Google Scholar, obviously, but there's still quite a lot of work to do on that with students. But that we want them to try and find out what's going on in the world and to get some of that secret knowledge, because it's there, and people in industry want to help young people, and they know that there's a need for new blood and all the rest. And actually, people are much more generous of their time and of themselves than you expect. The thing I would tell from my experience as a journalist is that, you know, people say, well, how do you get people to open up to you? And the simple question is, when you ask them something about themselves, you know, everybody wants to unburden themselves to you, because most people find themselves unendingly fascinating and are really excited to be asked at last about how wonderful they are. But the point of this is that it means that the student then has several touch points throughout the year to go back to those persons or people. You know, can you help me? Here you are helping me. Thank you for helping me. I got a great mark for that work with which you helped. I've finished my degree, and that's partly down to that great work that you did, where you really. And so they've got several reasons to be in touch with the person without feeling shy or embarrassed. And every time they are getting in touch, the other person is getting, often we do honestly find that people get a really good feeling out of having helped the student. They're invested in the student's success. And that when a day's work comes up, I know a student's been talking to me about this stuff, is interested in this stuff, written a report on it, you know, maybe they could come in and do it. So it genuinely does bridge them between the world of university and the world of work. It's a very small thing, again, to do with course design, but designing something that encourages and gives a motivation and an excuse to the student for being able to talk to somebody in the field they want to go into can be a powerful and positive, have a powerful and positive impact.
I think it's the most powerful. It's the classic informational interview, but you've built it in a way that's safe for the student, because it's part of the learning and teaching experience, and it's got this kind of longevity to it as well, where they're keeping in touch. And it's as well, just from an industry perspective, we know that there's a saying that, you know, if you're looking for an opportunity, you're looking for a person. You know, most opportunities in the labour market are not advertised. They're in those informal networks, you know, those specialist networks, you know, within industry, so that they're all connected to people. So the more that we can do to connect our students to people, to those stakeholders, to graduates, to the graduate community, alumni, to industry, we're providing them with the best possible experience around their, you know, their employability, their career development, learning, that's going to prepare them incredibly well for the future as well. And we know that, you know, particularly I think the pandemic showed this, that those people that were affected in the pandemic from a work perspective, the ones that did okay, had solid networks, they'd built those solid networks, and, you know, they were able to lean on those networks more so than people that hadn't. And Dr. Jim Bright talks about it in the Chaos Theory of Careers. You know, he sees the networking, the people element, has been absolutely central and pivotal to the success of your career, and encourages, you know, students to start building those networks, you know, soon as they join us in that first year, you know, providing them with that opportunity. And, you know, those conversations that students have as well with those industry professionals, you know, that can lead to chance opportunities. And we know that research suggests that chance and serendipitous encounters account for a much larger percentage of people's career development than I think most people realise. You know, it's people have reported up to 60% of their career has been down to a chance encounter. And that could literally just be a conversation that they've had with an individual who happens to have an opportunity or can introduce someone to someone else that has an opportunity as well. And you've clearly provided that that foundation there for your students to you know, be exposed to those chance encounters, which I think is brilliant.
That industry practice module effectively is a series of tutorials and a series of guest lectures. I would like to run almost all of them as guest lectures, and have run a large majority of them in recent years. I think my head of subject would like me to have a maximum amount so that it doesn't look like we're transferring off the burden of teaching away from the academics. And I can understand why the university might be nervous about that. But actually, the students really love this. And then, again, there's even, without sounding too full of ourselves about it, we aspire to there being a multi-layered nature to this as well, where students get the experience of hearing from people that have really made it.
Yep.
They're hearing from them direct rather than from somebody who, you know, might have seemed relevant when they first arrived at the university, but now just seems like they work for the university. And there is the opportunity at the end of the lecture for students to ask questions.
Yes.
And the people who come and do the lectures will often say, oh, I'm surprised there wasn't more questions. You know, the questions is what they're coming for. Yeah. And we do these as very loose question and answer sessions about the person's career, about where they started, how they got on, and then maybe what they're looking for in young people and what attributes they think young people need to be successful. So there's a kind of thematic thing, but it's all based on the person. So they don't have to do a lot of preparation. And again, the pandemic has really helped because you can often get big guests much more easily now than I could when I had to ask them to come to Leeds. That made a big difference. I mean, the first year of the pandemic, we got Caroline Hollett to come, who's the head of drama at Channel 4, and Siobhan Green, who had been head of entertainment at ITV, and we started Britain's Got Talent and a bunch of other stuff, and Anna Hall, who was nominated for a BAFTA as documentary maker that year, and you just think that there's these people are really great, and they're at the top of their game in the industry, and they want to come and talk to the students, but interestingly, we've found more and more as that's gone on that perhaps that kind of even slightly ego-driven booking, where I'm saying to the students, look how great the course is and we are, look at the people we can get for you from the top of the industry, is actually not as impressive to students as having graduates from their own course. And so we've altered this. I still try and get a few people who are at the top where possible, but we mainly now, the course has been going for about 10 years and we've got enough graduates now so that we get graduates to come back and talk, and they talk about who've done this module, and they talk about how they've got on in their career and how they're now moving towards a further level. And then the students feel much more comfortable about approaching them for discussion. And it seems that the students are more engaged with their experience as recent graduates and as Beckett graduates than they are with these other people who might perhaps seem, even though they're telling them stories of lives that are very similar to theirs that ended in success, they maybe don't seem as close. And that's been a really useful part of the module, because students will often come and say, well, I don't know anybody doing this, and you say, well, yeah, we just had that guest lecture from that person, you know, and they said you could write to them, so why don't you start with them and see where you go. And it's just encouraging those little bits of contact make a difference.
Would you say then, Hugo, that from having those guest lectures being alumni, that sort of adds to that web of industry contacts? But I can imagine many staff listening to this podcast may think, well, you know, I've got a few contacts within my industry area, but I don't really have a massive breadth of contacts to draw upon if I'm trying to offer these opportunities for my students.
Yeah, and one of the other things we come up against, Andy, is that people do know people, but they don't have any budgetary power to get them in. You know, I mean, that's been a big sticking point for me. Yeah. Is, you know, I can get people, but if I'm only offering them £50, it doesn't necessarily feel comfortable you know, you're doing it as a friendship thing for a multi-million pound organization. So I think there are a lot of reasons why people might have nerves about doing this sort of thing, and a lot of nerves about whether or not they can organize it and what sort of people they could get in. But you're absolutely right. Graduates is a great place to start because they know them. Graduates are often really happy to be a to be seen as a success story. And they also really understand how hard it was for the students midway through third year, you know, because that is a tough time for anybody. So I think that can work well. And I think Ben's got an involvement with things like Beckett Connect and alumni organisations. And so even if staff don't have a strong contact with grads in their own area, there are people within the university that they can speak to who might be able to make those initial connections for them. You know, and say you're on a really enormous course and you don't necessarily know everybody straight away, you know, that might be a way for you to use the services to bridge that gap and to say, listen, I'm sorry I didn't know you well while you were here, or I haven't spoken to you for a long time, but we'd be really excited in hearing about what you did.
I think it's that connected learning piece again, though, Hugo, isn't it?
Not only
that, you know, the industry you've got coming in, you know, which is fantastic. And, you know, I was speaking to Graphics actually the other day. Graphics, again, very similar. Lots of industry, lots of external stakeholders, alumni that are intrinsic to their learning and teaching experience. Yeah, we're having the conversation around students and you know, how can we better enable students to understand that those people that are coming in and speaking to them, whether they, you know, whether it's, if it's face to face, they can either ask questions or they can stay around at the end and ask questions, or even if they're not entirely comfortable in doing that, they can use, you know, the online tools we now have available where they can find that person, for example, on LinkedIn. They could drop them a message just to say, you know, that talk you gave was really inspirational. Yeah, I'd love to connect. So it feels like, you know, we're providing those opportunities for students, but students don't always connect the dots. So I think that there is some work to do, how we can better to connect them, whether that's built into a module, into a learning, teaching and assessment activity.
Making things better does involve a bit more work, either for you or for other people. But it doesn't always mean that there's going to be more work all the time. In lots of senses, this guest lecture program I run is easier for me in some ways than writing a bunch of lectures. So although it was hard to set up, but there are other ways that you can do things. And Ben, I hope I'm not overselling your service here, but what Ben's been able to do for us is that Ben comes in and does a guest lecture for me as part of that module, in which he talks about the facilities and the services that are available for students. And then I say to the students after Ben's left, you know, Ben's on the panel who's going to be judging you halfway through the model. And he's going to love it if you've used a load of these career stuff in your presentation. So if you use that stuff, it'll impress him. You never know. The panel might be really impressed by it. And that encourages them to go away and use the stuff. And you then when they present, they've got more content to present. And it feels like you can build in a little bit of stealth contribution by them, just by having people from professional services come in. I don't think that's cheating. I think that's encouraging the students by stealth. I hope so anyway. But I think that things like that are worthwhile. Now, not everybody is as perhaps as willing as Ben to do that kind of support, and we really appreciate that. It might not be appropriate for everybody, but that's a contribution for him of probably an hour earlier in the semester, and then, you know, half a day to a day. It's often a fairly big contribution for him to be involved with the panels, but the students get a tremendous amount out of it, and it makes our module feel a lot more authentic. So if you can get those third parties to come in, even if they're just offering advice rather than being a fully assessing member of the panel, then that's both professionalizing for the students, it helps to get them into that big match or interview mentality, and it can help to provoke them into doing the learning you want them to do.
As a careers and employability service, those of us that are working in a school role, like myself, I link to the School of Arts. So yes, we work with students. Yes, we come into the curriculum and deliver sessions, but we also do provide consultancy as well. So we can have conversations with academic teams and we can consult on all things employability, essentially, you know, and Hugo and I, we've had conversations around this, and I've offered some thoughts and ideas and advice as well. And I think we're in quite a, I suppose, similar to CLT as well, because we sit centrally it means that, you know, we've got a good grasp of what's going on across the uni in terms of best practice. And then we're in a role where we can hopefully connect people. We can connect people that can have conversations and then realize actually there's some real good practice to be shared, you know, whether that's across a school, across different subject areas, or actually, you know, across a whole university as well. So, you know, that's one of the role, you know, best things about our role as well. It's about connecting in interesting people. There you go.
The simple thing I'd ask anybody to do in any situation is to ask graduates to contribute to your course.
Yes. I 100% endorse that. Yeah.
So get them to speak to students if you can, or ask them about how they used your service when they were at the university and what was easy to access or difficult to access, what they didn't know or did know. I think those things can be really useful too. And if possible, get graduates involved in course design. They're like students, only they've really thought about their course. I mean, I think it's really important to have students that are on your course engaged with how you're designing things, but graduates have often thought about it a lot, and they can be really, really helpful. As I said, our business and enterprise in media course was largely driven by Pete Snyman, who's now a very successful cinematographer, does really great work and brilliant, brilliant student. But Pete said, I just wish you'd taught me more about how to deal with the money and how to get, you know, the job side of the work. Yeah. And I think that is really useful.
Get in contact with the career service, with the careers consultant that links to your school. Hopefully, you know who they are. If you don't, it might be a good opportunity to, you know, have a call, grab a coffee. And just have a chat as well, how we can support. Again, you know, we support students, we support teaching and learning within the curriculum, but we're also able to have, you know, those consultative conversations as well. And we are in a position where we can surface some of the best practice that's already happening across the institution and connect you with other interesting academics as well. So, you know, I suppose my vision, and I'm sure it's probably our vision as a service as well, but this idea of career, you know, we want to scale it. You know, we want every Leeds Beckett academic, you know, to be helping us spread the message of career as well, you know, career and employability, and actually, you know, it enabling our students to be graduate ready and you know, as successful as possible when they're making that transition out of Leeds Beckett University. So yeah, you know, get in touch, check us out, we'd love to have a conversation, and we're certainly developing the work that we're doing as well with our links to CLT, just around the academic community. So yeah, give us a shout.
Listen to more in our podcast series, click on the subscribe button. And to keep up to date with the Centre for Learning and Teaching at Leeds Beckett University, follow us on Twitter @LeedsBeckettCLT. Thank you for tuning in.